Good morning, and welcome to our family series. I think it's been wonderful so far. And today is the day on the Proverbs 31 woman. This is an easy message for me to preach and a difficult message for me to preach, because I think some of you may receive some of this a little condemning, but I don't think condemnation does anybody any good. I don't believe that's the heart of God to condemn us. I think this, the statistics behind this scripture are very interesting. It's one of the top 20 scriptures preached in the church today across all denominational lines. Now, I probably would disagree with a lot of how it's been preached and taught to people, because I think it's been used to berate women and condemn us a little bit. And I don't think that that's the heart of who wrote it. It might surprise you to know that this is not written by a man, but written by a woman. And King Lemuel is who wrote this. Now, I believe King Lemuel is Solomon. King Lemuel, Solomon, had a lot of different names in the Word of God. His father, David, called him Jedidiah. He was known by most people. His birth name was Solomon, and his mother called him Lemuel. Now, Lemuel is a term meaning, I prayed for you, the son of my vows, I longed for you. If you know the story of Bathsheba and David, I feel it's important to give you just a little bit of history. Most of you know it already, but Bathsheba was actually born Bathshua. And then because of her character, her father changed her name to Bathsheba, meaning woman of character. And so that was very interesting for me to find that out, because as a child, I was taught that Bathsheba was that really naughty woman bathing on top of a building where men could see her and she was a you-know-what. Well, that is not at all true. Her grandfather and her father were mighty men of David. And so she was raised as a military child around the palace. And if you think about it, David saw her bathing from the palace because Uriah was also a mighty man of David. She lived near the palace because she was a military wife. She was a great woman of character, and we don't hear about her like that very often. So when Josiah is talking about the Proverbs 31 man next week. So I'm not going to say much about that, except that Proverbs 31 opens up by Solomon saying, or King Lemuel, if you don't believe it's Solomon, that his mother taught him this. His mother gave him this. So Proverbs 31 was written by a king's mother, if you don't believe it's Solomon. It is a king's mother. I believe it's Solomon. I believe it's Bathsheba. Now, I'm not going to say much about Genesis because I think Sia did a great job. I just want to refer back to where women got their start. Genesis 2:18 says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" The word helper is the word izer, and it means to surround with help, assist, aid, protect, a helpmeet. It is a strong word of equality. Now, who said it's not good for man to be alone? God said it is not good for man to be alone. Now, it's very interesting because we know that man named all of the animals. We know from the dust of the ground, man was made. From the dust of the ground, Adam was made. And all the animals were made. But guess who was not made from the dust of the ground? Women. We're superior. It started at the very beginning. We were made from a rib. Now, that rib was made from the dust of the ground. So, but God said it is not good for man to be alone. So his perfect plan for man, if you believe that Genesis is the foundation for our life, I do. Then he said it's not good for man to be alone. And he chose to create us. So that will be the foundation of everything today, is that I believe with all of my heart that men were created for women and women for men. Now, men needed whatever it was in woman that God said it's not good for him to be alone, so this is what I'm going to give him. That tells you that there are strengths in what God gave to man. So there are strengths deposited, I believe, in women for the benefit of man, and strength deposited in men for the benefit of women. Amen? Amen? Now, I need to tell you a few things about Proverbs. Tim Keller says this: a proverb is a poetic art form that instills wisdom in you as you wrestle with it. So it's okay to wrestle with some of the things that I'm going to talk to you about. But as you wrestle, remember that you should end with, God's word is my authority. Not my ideas or my truth or my desires or my longings or my insecurities that tell me who and what I should be, but God's word is my authority, right? Now, this Psalm 30 or Proverbs 31 is interesting because it actually has more in common with an Israel heroic hymn than any other literary genre. Now, I find that interesting because of the militant uses of the words in Proverbs 31. You only find that in history in Israel's militant hymns. Now, why is that? I think that there is a intensity about the Proverbs 31 woman. There's something maybe not negotiable, but militant about it. Now, one of the most fundamental marks of Hebrew poetry is parallelism. That's when two statements help you understand by contrast, usually. And the other thing is imagery. Now, go ahead and put that scripture up, Kim. Now, this causes you to get a mental picture right here. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. You can be a beautiful woman, but if you aren't wise, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, then you're a beautiful ring in a pig's snout. How good is a beautiful ring if it's in a pig's snout? Now, that causes an imagery in your mind that helps you to understand and helps you to realize what Proverbs is getting at here. Now, Proverbs 31, I know I'm going fast because I have so much here, is called an alphabet of womanly excellence. It's a wisdom poem, and it's called an alphabet acrostic. Now, what is an alphabet acrostic? In the Hebrew language, they have alphabet, just like we have an alphabet, and one letter, the next successive letter, the next successive letter. So every line in Proverbs 31 starts with the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It is an acrostic poem. Now, it was something that was chanted, it was something that was memorized, it was something that was valued by the Jewish families. Do you remember that in Deuteronomy where it says, teach your children when you walk down the path, teach your children when you lie down, teach your children when you raise up? This is one of the things they taught their children. Now, I can't say the same thing for America. America has changed what a woman is. Amen? Now, I understand that part of that is because of the war, and men went to war, and women really had to step up, because women can step up when they have to and when they need to. But it does not change, no matter how we progress, some people would call it, regress, other people might call it, the Word of God maintains the same. It is the truth. It doesn't change. It's timeless. Amen? There's cultural things about Proverbs 31. I doubt you're going to go out and find wool and flax and work it with your hands. But it's the principle behind that. So, let's get into Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, we're going to start at verse 10 because the first 9 verses are written to men. Now, remember, Proverbs 31 is written to men. He is the writer of Proverbs, which we believe is Solomon. His mother is teaching him how to find a wife. So this is for men. Can women benefit? Oh, my Lord, yes. This is a guide for us. This is a challenge for us. So here's what it says in verse 10. Oh, shoot. I'm in the wrong place. Here we go. An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes beds of covering for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Now, right off the bat in verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous wife? Now, the word wife there is the word woman, but it means betrothed, a bride, or wife. So this bride, this wife that this mother is telling this son to find is already a wife before she's a wife. So what is that telling you? There is a heart condition in women. One of service, one of wanting to be a wife, one of wanting to aid a husband, one of wanting to benefit a husband. And there's another woman that you maybe should stay away from. And that is the charming woman, possibly the beautiful woman, that does not have the heart condition to aid or help a man. In our world today, way over half of our marriages end in divorce. I believe it's because we've pulled so far away from, and men, you don't get off here innocently, because you're the main ones that are guilty, if you ask me. Sorry, but you are. God has a design and a plan for men, and God has a design and a plan for women. And his design is this: I made this man, I put him in the garden to have dominion. I made this woman, put her in the garden with the man to help the man, equals across the board. What have we done? We've said, well, this is what I like about the man. I'm going to be this, and I'm going to be this, and this is what I like about the woman. I'll be this and this. But don't ask me to be a helper. You can help me. Is that true? But God said we are to help him. Solomon is looking for a wife before he finds a wife because he's looking for a heart condition. A heart condition that says, I want to help you. Now, I don't want to be walked on by you. I want to be treasured and cherished, but I want to help you. That is God's call to our life. Now, in verse 27, there's a word that I want to explain to you before we keep going here, and it's the word watches. In the ESV, which is not my favorite version, but it's okay. Verse 27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household, but the actual word is watches. She watches. Now, men, please listen to this. Deposited in every woman, well, I should say, deposited in every woman who seeks God and has found her dynamic with her Lord and Savior, is deposited this word watches. And it means that she's the overseer physically, emotionally, and spiritually of the conditions of her household. When I have gone to my husband, and I've done it thousands of times, if not more than that, and said, I'm concerned about the finances in our home. I'm concerned about Josiah. I'm concerned about Tiffany, maybe the friends that she's choosing, because it's deposited in me. The worst thing you can do, men, is say, stop worrying about that stuff. Oh, that's silly. No, it's not silly. It's so big in a mother, it's so big in a wife, that it's the very breath that she breathes. If you do anything, men, make sure your wife has time with her Savior. Because you can never fix her physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Only He can. Now, we look to our husbands and we want Him to fix us emotionally. I've got all these problems and I don't feel this and I don't feel that. He can't help you. Well, He can help you, but He can't fix you. I was one of the most insecure people. I do a lot of counseling with women to this day, not as much as I used to. I've yet to meet someone, maybe one or two, that was as insecure as I was. My whole world's foundation was rocked because of the home I was in. I had a great home in a lot of ways, but it produced in me insecurity. And God gave me Dan, and He helped me. He didn't make me more insecure or tell me how invalid my complaints were. Sometimes He did. In the beginning. Sometimes in the beginning, you have the dumbest fights ever, right? I mean, ours were awesome. We both learned the word amazingly because he screamed, submit, woman, and I'm never going to submit to you. Show me a little Galatians 5 and I might submit. If you don't know what Galatians 5 is, the fruit of the Spirit. I beat the pure dog out of him with that scripture. Galatians 5, am I doing something wrong? What happened? Is that better? Ooh! We learned the word of God, Dan and I did, by beating the dog out of each other with it. But something that never worked, men, was when he would scream at me, submit. If you have to scream at your wife, submit, you're far from getting her to submit. Because what he did that over time brought about submission was he loved me well. He allowed me to be in charge of my household. Now, this was never outside of his order. It was never outside of his blessing. And many times he came to me and said, uh-uh, we're not doing this. Now, she bought a field without her husband's... I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, forget that. We'll get there. Okay, under this word watches, her devotion is to the well-being of her household. In this Proverbs, verses 11 through 13, 15, 17, 19, 21, 22, 25, 27 are all about the devotion to her household. Now, I wanted to break them all down because they're all amazing. Her devotion is to her household. If there's anything other than your relationship with God that steals your devotion, you are out of God's line. Biblically, women are called to their households. And that's so much. That's their husband, that's their children, and that's their house. It's who we are. It's what we long to do unless something has gone awry. Now you say, well, I work outside of the home. Don't see it as that. We're going to talk about that. There may be a time, I believe there is a time in a woman's life that she probably should not work outside of the home if it's possible. We live in a world where things have really got off kilter. So you may have to work outside of the home when you shouldn't work outside of the home. But God gives grace. God enables. God makes a way. Amen? Her devotion is first to the well-being of her household. She contributes to outside economic concerns. So this is kind of where I don't know where people have taught that women shouldn't work outside the home, but I do understand what they're saying. Roll Tide. They barely rolled yesterday. They only won by 2 points. It was an ugly game. She contributes to outside economic concerns, verses 14, 16, 18, and 24. Now, women can work outside the home. Women can benefit their home, but it's not what they're devoted to. The difference here is the devotion. What we're devoted to is our husbands and our children and our home. We may work outside the home, but everything we do ends up benefiting the home. Now, that's a vast difference than careers. Can I say a few hard things? That take a woman's devotion, and at the end of the day, she comes flying in the door. She's totally exhausted. She is spent. She's given everything she has to throw something on the table, to throw the kid in the bath, and throw the kid in the bed because she is exhausted. That's not devotion. Now, so many women in this room have figured out a way to use grandparents and to use people that they know they can love and trust with their children because their devotion is to the home. There is a way to do things. And it all leads back to benefiting the household because the devotion is to the household. I don't want to be hard. I want to find balance, and I want to hear what the text is saying to us. This woman did work outside of the home, but not at the risk of her home not being in its proper place. Amen? She's a generous giver, verse 20. She's a teacher of the word, verse 26. But this is what, Becky, you're going to love this. Listen, when I started breaking down Proverbs, you guys, you would not believe what is in. It's packed with meanings. I understand this militant thing because it's amazing. Throughout Proverbs, it says, Proverbs 31, it says things like willing hands. She works with her hands. Hands is used. So I looked up these words. There's two uses of the words hands here. I doubt I'll get through it without bawling, but here's what it is. In verse 13, for one instance, it's the word hands, and it's the word cap, K-A-P-H, and it means upturned hands, palms up. What is that saying? Worshipful hands. Hands that worship, hands that receive from God, hands that make a priority having upturned hands. Now, you may have the other word down pat, and it's the word yad, and it means ministering hands or serving hands, palms down. It's giving and doing and cooking food, cleaning, helping your husband, all of these serving hands, palms down. But everything in her life stemmed from palms up. She was a worshiping, in touch with God, devoted to her God first and foremost. Do you know so much of this doesn't even need taught when you've got upturned hands? Because as you sit in His presence, you have a longing to want to do good by your household. I long for my husband to be happy, for him to come home at the end of the day and be home and say, it's good to be home and happy and get a meal that he loves and have a peace in his home where he can relax and let the cares of life go because he's home. There's a goodness about that that only comes from the upturned palms. Otherwise, it's just behavior. It's just behavior and doing and doing. And you know what that brings? This was very interesting in this word. When you only have downturned palm hands, it brings resentment. We resent it if we're just working, doing. I know I've used this example, and I'm going to use it again. Dan is a messy man. Messy. And I used to resent him for it. I did everything I've told y'all. You know, people said, oh, put his socks in the freezer. When he finally runs out of socks and they're all in the freezer, he'll start putting his socks in the... No, he didn't. He didn't do that. To this day. But you know the difference? You know what changed? I changed. Because my time with upturned palms, what did he say? My time with upturned palms, I don't resent it. He's not doing it to use me or abuse me. He's doing it because he's occupied and he's busy and he's providing for me. So my time with upturned hands did something beautiful in my heart. And now I want to serve him. I want to pick up his socks. You know what I don't want to pick up is his toenails. I draw the line on that, baby. That is something I don't want to pick up. Your time with upturned hands does something to your heart. Did you know bitterness and resentment is the number one problem for women in marriages? Bitterness and resentment. Now, I can think of a lot of reasons why, but the only thing I know that melts bitterness and resentment is upturned hands. My time sitting with Jesus in my swing every morning, I don't feel bitterness and resentment to him. I work cheerfully for him. I want to surround him with help and with aid and assist him. I only get bitter and resentful when I'm busy doing this and not this. Okay, Proverbs 9:14. Ooh, this is so good. Y'all are going to love this. You're going to love it, I'm telling you. Proverbs 19:14 says this, house and wealth, well, mine is probably from a different version. Oh, no, that's it. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. House and wealth are from the fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Prudent, here's what it means. It's the word sakal, and it means to act wisely, to give attention to ponder, to prosper. Now, there is a principle in the Word of God and interpreting the Word of God that's called the act of first mention, and I love that. And the first mention of sakal is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and it's a paradox. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Did I give that one to you, Kim? Yes. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, now the sakal there is saw, when the woman saw. She saw the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Now, when she saw... she saw the fruit, she discerned, oh. Now, she's thinking here. I wish I could know exactly what Eve was thinking. She saw the fruit, she knew it was desired to make one wise, and yet she's not supposed to do it. So there's a paradox, and she chose deception. She chose to believe a lie, and she ate the fruit. And Mr. I have no leadership ability skills was standing right there and said, oh, look, she's eating the fruit. Give me a bite. Right? There's no other way to interpret that, guys. There isn't. Somebody. Was that too hard? Oh, that was awesome. Becky loves it. She chose deception. That's the first act. But now throughout the Old Testament is so rich with these taking a thought and developing it through the scriptures. In Isaiah 41:20, that they may see and know and may consider and understand. Now, it takes this prudency a little bit further there. Here's what you really need, Isaiah is saying. This is what you need to give your attention to, that they may see and know and consider and understand. Then the prophet Jeremiah takes sakal a little further, developing insight. This is what it means in Jeremiah. Developing insight, intellectual comprehension. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and he knows me. He who finds a prudent wife, she's from the Lord, who considers God and understands the ways of God and will stand up to her husband when he is being drawn away and say, something spiritual is not right in our home. We need to get to the bottom of this. I'm feeling uneasy. I'm feeling unsettled. Our child is starting to do this. I'm starting to see this one go astray over here. Men, don't resent it. Welcome it. It is a gift to you. She's assisting you. She's aiding you. She's spending time with her. Women, if you have not developed your dynamic with Jesus, find it. Find it and develop it. Forget everything else except feeding your kids and cleaning them and that. Find your dynamic with Jesus. He will change your heart. He will mold you and he will make you. None of us are ever there, but we can look back and we can say, thank God that I'm not throwing Galatians 5 into it. You know why I always won with Galatians 5? Because Dan was not kind. I'm going to tell y'all, he wasn't. He was mean, weren't you, honey? I was emotional and he couldn't handle it. And he was mean. That's why I thought he was an 8, but he wasn't. He's a 2. And if you know 2s, when 2s get stressed, they go to an 8. Right? How many 2s are in here? You have a lot of 8 in you? Uh-huh. Yep. Listen, we can all fight and we can all be ugly, right? Dan wasn't nice. He wasn't kind. Well, Galatians chapter 5 tells you to be kind. So I would just hurl that baby at him. You're not gentle. You're not kind. How can I submit? I'm so good, but you're so bad. You know what I was needing? I was needing upturn. I had 2 little babies at home, and all of my time was being robbed, and I didn't have my time with my upturned hands. So I was getting bitter, and I was getting resentful. But I longed to be a prudent wife. I wanted to considering what he says. That's why I love what Tim Keller says. Wrestle with Proverbs. Wrestle with what it's saying. It's okay to wrestle. It's good to wrestle. Now, Proverbs 12:4 says this. An excellent... Check, check. There we go. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. The word crown relates to wisdom, and it means to encircle the head, originating from a word that literally means to encircle, for attack or protection. Wisdom surrounds and protects the mind and bring honor to the head of the one who has it. This is what the word crown means. The crown. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. We surround his head and we bring wisdom and protection and service and aid. The godly woman is also this crown to her husband. When she is received as God's gift, her husband will benefit in every way from God's wisdom. Remember when we read in the poem that this king benefited in the gates in every way? Because of the crown on his head, the wisdom from his wife. Now, not just the wife. It's not that the man has no wisdom if it wasn't for her. It's that she brings what he is lacking, what he might not see, the sensitivity to situations that he may be oblivious to. And you know, men, I'm almost 60 years old, and one of the things I see with men the most is they take it as a slam or a criticism or a put down when a woman knows something they don't know. Do you realize that you're cutting off one of the greatest blessings in your life when you won't receive wisdom from your wife? She knows things you don't know. She has an intuition about us, a sensitivity about her that you may not have.
and listening to her could save you a heap of trouble. Amen? And when I have an area in me, lots of them. I would say the biggest thing that Dan has done for my life is he's grounded me with, I have fears, and I go to him and he spiritually leads me. He does not make me feel, so many times I've known when something was up with my kids. If you pray in the Spirit, God will, by His Holy Spirit, let you know things. All of a sudden, you will just have this desire to pray. And here's the thing. Dan used to preach this sermon, and I loved it, about that's just the leaves. I'm ringing. I know I am. You'll see the leaves on your kid's life, but that's really not the problem. The problem is the root condition that's happening. And in a woman's heart, because she's the overseer of her household, she may know this before you. So listen to her when she tries to tell you something. It's not her. It could be. I mean, we can also get in the flesh and act ugly and, oh, if you were only as smart as me type thing. But I don't think that's usually what we're doing. Usually what we're doing is we're truly concerned about something in our household. Amen? Jack Hayford says this, the woman who cultivates her relationship with God first, then relates appropriately to her husband, will powerfully influence him in every area of life. Now, I've told you all of this about the Proverbs 31 woman, but now I want to tell you what the Proverbs 31 woman really is, if you don't already know. How many know when a woman is talked about in the Word of God? In the New Testament, what is the woman? What is the church? The bride of Christ. The Proverbs 31 woman is the bride of Christ. The Proverbs 31 woman is the church. The Proverbs 31 woman is all of us in our relationship to Jesus. She longs for the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. She longs for the day that for the marriage supper of the Lamb. What is the marriage supper of the Lamb? It's when the church and Jesus finally consummate their wedding, their marriage. That is the day all of us are longing for. So Proverbs 31 very much is for every single one of us. Revelation 19:7 says, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the church, the Spirit and the woman say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. We long for our bridegroom. We long for our Jesus. As a woman, we have a longing in our heart to please our husband. Now, many times, I think women get to the point where they feel hopeless. They feel like, I'm never going to be able to please you. Now, it's not just the woman. It's not just the man. We all know it's the dynamic. We have two choices. The Word says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The conformed woman says this. Listen, men, I don't know if you've noticed this. I know you have a little bit of this. But the world tells a woman what she should look like, what she should wear, how she should wear her hair. And nothing is good enough. Nothing about us is good enough. And we go about and try to live in this world and be good enough with these messages coming at us all the time that we're not good enough. We will fall under that pressure if we're trying to conform to this world. But if we choose transformation instead, then we listen to these proverbs and we wrestle with these proverbs. It's very interesting that at the end of this passage in Proverbs, it says this: charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Throughout the entire book of Proverbs, the themes are wisdom and the fear of the Lord. It constantly contrasts the fool and the wise, the fear of the Lord and the lack of the fear of the Lord. Ladies, my challenge to you is to fear the Lord. And number one, just social media. I don't know if you can ever get a handle on this stuff and have social media as a major part of your life. I just don't know if you can. Because the human flesh is so weak, and we're so prone to, outside of our upturned hand time, to compare ourselves and to have all of this stuff challenge us that are lies. I don't know if when we spend so much time looking at all this stuff, if we can ever overcome it. Turn it off until you have victory over it. And then barely do it. I have to do it because of being in relationship with all of y'all, but I don't spend time scrolling. You know why? Because it makes me want things I don't want. It makes me compare myself to people. Why would I compare myself? I'm not that person, but I should be this and I should be that. I see every other 59-year-old on there that's in better shape than I am or has more money than I. Who the crap cares? I care if I spend too much time meditating on it, right? Why do you think COVID is so huge in our country right now? Because social media never stops telling us what we should believe about COVID. Social media tells us how we should fear COVID. The church has laid down and died regarding COVID. The church has laid down and said, do you know pastors are telling people they cannot worship? If you're a mask lover, God love you. I don't care. I don't care if you love mask. Love a mask. But when you start telling people they can't worship their God if they don't have a mask on, they can't worship their God if they don't have a vaccine, what's happening? Social media is happening. If we didn't know this stuff, we would be treating it like a virus. It's horrible when somebody dies. It's horrible when the flu or COVID or a heart attack or cancer kills anybody. But there is a God that comes first. And he says how many times? 366 times, do not fear. Yes, we should use wisdom. Yes, we should be in his word saying, God, what would you have me to do? Yes, we should be listening to the Holy Spirit. But what is happening? We've got the most corrupt government, Republican and Democrats, hello, telling us, the body of Christ, what's right and what's wrong. We've already had somebody tell us what's right and what's wrong. And it trumps what they're saying. Now, we have a little bit of a COVID outbreak in our church right now. So here's what I'm doing. I am believing God for every one of them. And every one of them, day by day by day, are getting better, right? They're kicking this virus. And we're going to continue to believe God for them to kick the virus. And I will pray and I will believe God for it. And you be in prayer. Women, don't let this world tell you who you are. Let the word of God wrestle with it. You think I want to submit to Dan? No. If I'm telling you the truth, my flesh wants him to submit to me. Where I've been bad is with my mouth. I love my home. I've served Dan well. My downturn hands, he better not complain because he's been taken care of. But I've been ugly to him with my mouth. I know that surprises you. I've said things when he's, if he has a weak moment, I let him know. oh, wow, that was brilliant. That was all. I mean, you're ugly. That was mean. Why are you? Now, I don't act like that very often. But when I do, I try to fix it with him because I do have flesh and I do fall into sin and I do fall into error. But you know what? I have a God who forgives me and loves me. There's not one of us in here today who God expects perfection from. So please don't let other people set your standard. Let the Word of God set your standard. And let me leave you with this. God calls the heart of women. God calls their devotion to their home. God calls their devotion to their husband, to their children, and to their household. If you can work out helping outside economic things by keeping your devotion there, then do it. But do it with wisdom and do it with the fear of the Lord. Amen? Stand up with me if you would. Father God, we pray for every person right now that's a part of Rock Church that's battling COVID. God, I pray for a supernatural infusion of your health and your goodness. Give them wisdom, God, on what to eat, what to drink, how to do this, how to get through this. God, we will stand and believe you for healing. God, I pray right now for this body to silence the voice of the world, to silence the voice of compromise, to silence the voice of the women's movement that has told us what women are, and it is a complete contrast to what you say women are. I thank you for marriages. I thank you for the men, God, that encourage this upturn time for their wives with their Lord, for men who will receive the help that their crown is trying to offer. And God, I pray for challenge in every man's heart and every woman's heart to put God in the proper place. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen.